Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah.
I'm really excited that Kathy Freston is here. And the reason is I've been reading her book, Quantum Wellness. Now, I read a lot of books on how to make yourself a better person. And this is called Quantum Wellness, a practical and spiritual guide to health and happiness. I've read a lot of books in this genre, sort of like this. This I find particularly fascinating because it's the first time I've ever felt sort of tipped to the edge of actually thinking about becoming a vegetarian. And I can't wait to talk to her about it. She also has this cleansing program that she says, will allow us to begin to be clearer about ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually. Her whole book is about mind, body, spirit connection. And you know I love that, so can't wait to talk to Miss Kathy Preston. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series. Welcome to my Soul Series, a show that I trust at the very least will begin to expand your awareness to the greater possibilities of your own life and at the most inspire you to be an agent for change, to manifest a new earth for yourself. In this world in which we live, you know, it's no longer enough to just talk about a better world. And we do a lot of talking about a better world and the other world on this show. But I think to question conventions and read books filled with the wisdom of the ages, Gandhi said it best. You've all heard this quote, that we must be the change we wish to see in the world. And as we all know, change doesn't come easy. To be the change, to transform our lives, to begin to impact the world around us, we must not only have foresight and, of course, faith and compassion, but you also have to have the courage of your own convictions. And one such agent of change, not coincidentally, is my guest today. Mm-hmm. She's a personal growth author and spiritual counselor, Kathy Freston, bestseller. New York Times bestseller. People always like to hear that, I guess. Yeah. That's a nice label to have if you're going to have one.
It's pretty terrific. And thanks to you, by the way.
Well, it means people are reading. Well, last year around this time, she was on this show talking about The One, discovering the secrets of soulmate love. And now she's returning to our Soul Series to share her latest book, one that is nothing if it is not courageous. It's called Quantum Wellness, a practical and spiritual guide to health and happiness. Courageous, I thought, not because of the fact that you challenge us to strive for our own sense of personal wellness, but that there is actually a plan for doing it. Mm-hmm. Courageous in that you emphasize that wellness is contingent on service to others and also our effect on the world, holding us accountable for bringing up the weakest link, as you call it, which is pretty amazing. Mm. When you learn to walk the walk, how long have you been walking the walk yourself?
Well, I think we were all born to learn to walk the walk, and it's just a matter of how quickly and easily we get there. Mm-hmm. And I certainly had a few breakthrough moments in my life where I thought, if I don't make some changes, things are going to go pretty bad. I mean, things were really heading in a very difficult direction for me. I had some health challenges. I had some relationship challenges. I had some work and finance challenges. And all of those things, as difficult as they were catalysts to wake me up. And I think that that's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to wake up. And that's what conscious living is living an awakened life. And if we don't take the reins ourselves and really, you know, set out to make the changes, life kind of tends to bop us over the head to get us to pay attention. I was one of those ones who continues to get bopped over the head.
I know. And the thing about it, all of us have been bopped. Mm-hmm. And I think the more hard-headed you are, the harder the bops have to get.
That's for sure.
Yeah. One of the things you say is that conscious living is awakening to begin to understand that another's misery is our misery.
It is. It is. And if we don't tend to the ills of this world, we will not be fully well ourselves. We're so interconnected now more than ever. You know, if you think of your arm, like if you think of, I'm going to take care of my arm, but I'm not going to take care of the rest of my body.
Right.
Well, that arm is not going to thrive no matter how well you take care of it. You have to take care of the whole body. And we as a humanity, we are that whole body. So we need to extend our awareness past just ourselves, past me, my family, my community, my interests to the things that I don't see necessarily, the things that are in the shadows of my awareness. I have to open my eyes to the things that are painful beyond my immediate sphere of awareness. Mm. And until I do that, I'm really not going to be connected to my higher purpose.
Well, I think, too, the reason why a lot of people shut themselves down to that is because I don't want to see the other person's misery,
mm-hmm.
because then I might have to do something
about
it.
That's the inconvenient truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the inconvenient truth. And it is really hard to make changes, especially when those things that we enjoy are traditions that we sort of always thought were positive, whether it's eating turkey at Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Or, you know, wearing a big fur coat or whatever it is, you know, that signals abundance and mm-hmm. joy and family
having
tradition.
Having made it, success.
Having made it, all of mm-hmm. that stuff. So we have to bust through that stuff.
Yeah. It's sort of interesting, too, when I started, because I used to be a person who wore fur coats and also bought them for other people to wear, because I thought mm-hmm. it was a symbol of mm-hmm. success. And then when I started to become more conscious about it, I thought mm-hmm. success at the expense and sacrifice of the animal. So yeah. you get to wear the fur
right.
to say, look
right.
at me, look at me. Isn't this a great thing or a beautiful
right.
thing? At the sacrifice of another animal.
Yeah.
Not even to keep you warm, because
right.
we're not in a place where
no.
you needed to kill that animal
right.
in order for
your own thousand years
self.
Ago, we needed that.
Yes.
And maybe that was a necessary evil.
Right.
You know, as was eating meat, you know, many years ago. But life has changed. And that's one of our, I think, responsibilities as awakening human beings is to keep pushing ourselves to look three steps behind to see how things got to be where they are, whether it's our food, our relationships, our politics, whatever, and then looking three steps, you know, forward to see how our choices play out. And it's not always easy because we have to bust ourselves and we have to do things that are uncomfortable and push ourselves to doing things in a new way and, you know, change our ways. It's hard.
So I'm talking now with quantum wellness advocate and author of a book by the same name, Quantum Wellness, Kathy Preston. What is quantum wellness? You know, we hear the word quantum a lot and it's a mm-hmm. part of our, you know, it's become a part of the lexicon mm-hmm. of this age.
Yeah.
But what does it really mean in terms of wellness?
Yeah. Quantum wellness to me, quantum means a radical and sudden leap from one point to the other.
Ah, like yeah. warp speed.
Yeah, warp speed. It's yeah. almost like a miracle just popping onto the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you get to quantum wellness isn't by just radically changing everything you do, because I think that's really hard to do.
Yeah, you talk about leaning into it.
Leaning into it. And it's almost like creating sort of a brew. So you're throwing in
yeah.
all these different ingredients. I'm going to do a little bit of this. I'm going to change this a little bit. I'm going to, you know.
That's why I like this book, because, you know, normally it's like, okay, let's everybody stop everything you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But your idea is let's lean into it.
Get used to a new way of being. Maybe take up 1 minute of meditation a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe cut out one animal for today. Maybe this week I'll give up eating chicken or any kind of bird, something like that. And we just keep adding these little shifts and changes into the soup. And it's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever baked something. You put in all the ingredients, you put it in the oven, and before you know it, something...
I'm not a baker, but I have made stew.
Yeah, that's stew.
And so
it's like that old sort of metaphor when you're, you know, the witch doctor, you know, over the brew,
yeah,
stirring
the pot.
Something up, and then poof, something happens, and you go from point A to point Z. And
mm-hmm.
it's not really up to us to say, this is what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. What's up... What we're... beholden to do is to just keep upgrading our ways little by little, as much as we feel comfortable doing, and pushing ourselves to look deeper at ourselves and the world around us. And that's when things happen.
Well, you start with the pillars of wellness, the mm-hmm. eight pillars, which I thought were really great. Would you describe them here?
Sure.
Okay.
One of them is meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation.
That was the first one.
Yeah. Meditation is something that, you know, you think you have to have this very severe practice of sitting and with a straight back on a cushion and
mm-hmm.
be very disciplined. And actually, meditation is just being quiet. And everything
Do you
that
know what Eckhart Tolle said? I thought it was so moving that every time you are present with
mm-hmm.
your conscious, every breath is a meditation.
It is.
If you allow yourself to be with that breath.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And if you're in that breath and that present, it's like you'll feel tears running down your
yeah.
face. It's so, I remember he said sometimes he'll drink coffee at night just so he can stay up and be present. And I could just imagine him getting,
yeah.
you know, setting himself up, and he would just, you know, be totally awake, and he'd close his eyes, and I could just see him being present, you know, for
for
hours on end. And what a meditation that was.
Yes. You know? But you're saying, I think there's so much maybe confusion, intimidation, and also, you know, mysticism around the idea of what meditation is. And what I have discovered is that when you practice meditation with the expectation that something is supposed to be happening, then you're out of balance with what meditation really is.
And that's our ego speaking.
That's our ego.
That's our ego.
Trying to, you know, I'm going to close my eyes and now something mystical and amazing is going to happen and I'm going to see the light and the light's going to pull me in or whatever you're expecting to happen.
And that's not up to us. That's our job is to close our eyes and get present. And then the universe brings us exactly where we need to be. And that might be to a deeper awareness or it might just to be a you know, total presence. Sometimes you get an inspiration when you're meditating, sometimes an idea that you want to write about or someone you want to call, but you can't look for that stuff because that's when the miracle happens to you. It's just putting yourself in a position, closing your eyes, breathing, maybe saying a mantra such as, I am here now, I am here now. And ever so then when your mind is wandering, you just keep going back to your mantra and focusing on the words and letting them sink down into our
It's another good
consciousness.
One.
You know, I love what you said about Gandhi saying, be the change you want to see in the world. So I often say, I am peace. So I just keep repeating, I am peace. I am peace. So I'm telling myself, I am the change that I want to see in the world. If I'm frustrated by the chaos and the war and the insanity in the world, and I don't quite know what to do, one thing I can say is, I am peace. And so I let those words sink into my consciousness, and I think, what does that mean to me? I am peace. So I might think of a relationship that needs healing. I might think of a practice that's cruel that I want to stop doing. And I just let the words, I am peace, penetrate deeper and deeper, and then I become peace.
I do sometimes, John Gray taught me this a long time ago, to do My heart is open to you. God, my heart is open to you. Come sit in my heart. And so I've sort of narrowed that down to, you know, that's sort of my prayer before I begin. But the mantra really is, my heart is open. So that I do it, my heart is open. So that you're open to receive whatever is going to show up for you.
Beautiful.
My heart is open. Heart is open. So meditation as a cornerstone. And I think people get intimidated. I remember many years ago, I was talking about meditation or had been talking about it on a previous show, and a woman stood up in the audience and said, yeah, Oprah, I tried that meditation thing. I went in the closet for 20 minutes and nothing happened. I did that meditation thing. I did that for 20 minutes. Nothing happened.
Yeah, I think Gail said that too. She said, I'm centering myself. I'm closing my eyes and nothing's happening. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes nothing does happen, but we're practicing. It's like if you go to the gym a few times, you won't really see the muscle popping out. You're not going to see your waist suddenly slimming down. It's the practice, it's the leaning into a new way of being. And then change sort of happens when change is supposed to happen. And that's like your meditation of I am open to receive. It's not really my business to dictate how things show up. My business is to show up and to open and be willing to receive. And that's when the universe provides us exactly the experience we need in order to grow and become deeper.
And I will tell you, guaranteed, if you just start doing it, and I just, you know, you say in the book and you said here earlier, just take a minute. And this is what I want to say to everybody. Every one person who's listening, because radio, we're talking to one at a time. I do know that. To every one of you who's listening, that if you don't have a minute to give yourself, if you just don't have 1 minute to sit still and be still, then your evolvement is not a priority in your life whatsoever.
And that's the ego speaking, too.
Yes.
That's the ego saying, oh, no, no, you got to get back to doing that. And
that's
you got to
think
about that crazy situation there. And you got to go grocery shopping. That's your ego. And that part of your mind that's fearful does not want you to get quiet. Because when you get quiet, that's when the shift happens. That's when the miracle does come in.
Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if all over the United States of America, let's just start with our own country, or let's just start with a city. If all over in one city, we could get people just once a day, you know, at the same time to take out a minute and be still. Just like, you know, when you go to European countries, you know, from noon until 2 o'clock, you can't find anybody, you can't shop, you can't do anything because everybody's having a siesta.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah.
What a good idea, Oprah.
Isn't
that's
that a good
great
idea?
Great idea. Yeah.
Just take a minute a day, a minute a day to silence ourselves.
That's incredible. And that openness, what could happen with all that stillness, the miracle that could come through when all that chattering ego, you know, everyone just sort of stops for 1 minute and breathes and receives. My gosh, I can imagine miracles happening.
The shift that would come.
Yeah.
Because the meditation and the deep awareness that comes from it is just a part of the pillars, mm-hmm. part of the cornerstone. Mm-hmm. And next, what would you say is the next important on that chain of eight?
Well, for me, conscious eating is the one of the very most important because it's the most elemental, fundamental thing we do every day.
Uh-huh.
And that means that we are aware of where our food comes from, how it gets to the table, what goes into it, whether cruelty and abuse goes into it, whether farm workers are overlooked and overworked, chemicals, fertilizers, hormones, all kinds of stuff. And everything in quantum wellness appeals to the body, mind, and spirit.
Right.
And so what I maintain is that if it's good for our health, it's going to be good for our soul and vice versa. If it's good for us as individuals, it's good for us as a whole of humanity.
It's good for all animals and all
yes.
other animals on the planet.
Exactly.
Now, see, I used to think of conscious eating as taking your time, mm-hmm. being aware, before I read Quantum mm-hmm. Wellness, as taking your time, being conscious of what you're eating, mm-hmm. watching your, you know, fat and mm-hmm. sugar intake. But you mean something mm-hmm. different. As a matter of fact, in the beginning of the book, you write about a friend of yours. First of all, I was reading it, I was thinking, am I that friend?
No.
You're writing about a friend of yours who's, no, really, I started reading, I go, is she writing about me? Because the story was about the friend who was up and down with weight.
Yeah.
I do declare, I was reading it, I was thinking, I think she's talking about me.
Oprah, you're so funny. You're so empathic. That's why you connect so well, because you really do feel what other people go through.
I thought.
And you say, yeah, you know what? I've felt that before.
I don't think she's talking about me when she's describing the friend who's been up and down with her weight. And then I realized it wasn't, you weren't talking about moi.
No.
When you said that the friend had finally conquered the weight issue. Mm-hmm. When she started to become a conscious eater,
mm-hmm.
that she'd struggle with her weight mm-hmm. and would keep it off for long yeah. periods of time.
Yeah. And you can do dieting and that mm-hmm. works and exercise. And you can even add into it some meditation and some mm-hmm. visualization. So visualize myself being thin and fit and having energy. And so I have a friend who did all these different things. She's a very smart woman, Janet.
Uh-huh.
And she did everything that she was supposed to do, but uh-huh. then she would bounce back and gain the weight, whether it was some stressful situation that would set her off or something. And so until she started becoming a conscious eater, which means she thought about the animals and what they went through to get to her dinner, her steak dinner or her chicken lunch, whatever it was, that her discipline was no longer one of deprivation, where she felt like, oh, I can't have this because it's got too much fat in it or too much whatever. It was a joyful
that your
discipline.
Whole life isn't about, as mine
no.
is, how many calories
no.
is this? How much fat is in that?
If you think about the great sages and thinkers of our
right.
time,
because I can tell you the calorie time. Content of every single item
yeah.
of food. Yes.
And that's not what life is all about. You
right.
know? And I really do venture to say that when you're eating from a place of spiritual integrity, like I really want what's best for me, but I also want what's best for everybody else involved, including the animals. Then it's gonna work out for you in a way that you don't even
a
have to worry
about.
A place
of spiritual integrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what conscious eating is. Because spiritual integrity, remember, the spiritual principles are compassion, mercy, empathy, kindness, alleviating suffering, all of those things. So if we're going to adhere to spiritual principles, if we think about what an animal goes through in being raised for our steak dinner or a chicken lunch or something like that and how they get slaughtered, it is so deeply heartbreaking. So if we're going to be conscious in our lives, it means to be awake. So I'm not saying don't eat that stuff, but open your eyes to it. Think about it. And I think what happens, because most people I think have a really good heart, that when we open our eyes to that stuff and we're aware of it, We're just going to not want it. We're
I know.
Just
very interesting. In very much the same way as I recently did a show on puppy mills.
I loved it.
And there were people who said to me, you know, I couldn't watch that show on puppy mills. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to see how badly mm-hmm. they're being treated because it just mm-hmm. made me feel so bad. Mm-hmm. What I felt is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And after reading your book, Quantum Wellness, it's the first time I've really seriously considered being a vegetarian. I never seriously considered it because I didn't think I could keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I did the show on puppy mills, I thought, all right, I have such empathy for dogs,
mm-hmm.
Having had dogs all my adult life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And why should the dogs or the puppies be the only ones
exactly
that we care about?
It's interesting. It's like Sophie opened your heart to
animals. Yeah, Sophie, yes, please.
I know. I don't want to upset you. But,
I will start boohooing.
But what a gift. You know, what
but
a gift.
Sophie opened my heart that
she
way.
She opened your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that this show happened so close on the tale of her passing.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like she's making sure that your heart continues to open. And you're right. People don't want to look at that stuff because it's painful. And
you may have to do something.
Yeah, and you may have to do something. And I can't tell you how long it took me to read the books, to watch the videos, the behind-the-scenes videos of what happens in a slaughterhouse. I didn't want to look. But as I went along on my spiritual path, I realized I have to. If I'm serious about what I say, that I want to be someone who's compassionate and kind, and I don't want to add to suffering in this world, and in fact, I want to do as much as I can to alleviate suffering,
mm-hmm.
How can I not look? How can I not look?
And once you've looked, you can't pretend that you didn't see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's in there.
And that's why a lot of people don't want to look. I mean, it's the same thing with many shows that I've done over the years. I'd say even mm-hmm. to our audience, now that you've seen it,
mm-hmm.
you can't pretend that you didn't
see it. That's exactly right.
Because it's now in your own consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and the question becomes, what will you do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
What will you do with it?
Exactly. So you look, and hopefully it affects you. But then, you know, as in all things quantum, I think it's body, mind, and spirit. So
mm-hmm.
you say, okay, this is really rough, but what about my health? I don't know. I don't want to sacrifice my health just because I want to be a spiritually integral person.
Uh-huh.
But then if you look at the health issues, it is widely said that a plant-based diet is more healthy for your body insofar as less cancer, less heart disease. So on that level of health, it's also better to eat a plant-based diet. So you look at it from the spiritual angle, you look at it from the health angle, and then if you look at
where am I getting all my proteins? Where would you get your proteins?
Oh, you get protein from beans, nuts, like you're eating almonds here,
mm-hmm.
avocados, tofu, there's something called seitan, tempeh. There's like a whole world of food out there.
Okay, I want to take our whole next show, because you're going to join us again, to talk about conscious eating, particularly for those of you who are like me and you've struggled with the weight all these years. I think you're on to something with this
mm-hmm.
whole idea of now if you move into spiritual integrity
mm-hmm.
with your eating, spiritual integrity with your eating, it eliminates the whole calorie count, fat count,
please.
What I had yesterday,
yeah.
what I'm going to have tomorrow, parties coming up,
yeah.
all that,
mm-hmm.
all that. Also, you have a wonderful cleansing program I want mm-hmm. to talk to you about. But as we finish this show, we only have 7 minutes left in this show, I wanted to get the pillars
mm-hmm.
of the foundation for wellness.
Right.
So meditation, conscious eating.
Mm-hmm. Visualization is another one. And visualization just means setting up your mind to be able to imagine how you want to live your life. It's like laying out a blueprint. It's
right.
very simple. It's like create like attracts like. So you sort
law
of...
Law of attraction.
Yeah, the law of attraction. So mm-hmm. it's just sort of imagining yourself as you'd like to be, and then you sort of hold yourself differently. You respond to food differently, relationships, things like that. And so you're setting up a roadmap for how you want to be. Very simple stuff. And personally, I like to do it in a flash. I'll just visualize really quickly, like a moment of, you know, myself being healthy and fit and radiant and happy and laughing.
You must have visualized yourself in the perfect sweater for this room. So I walked in and I went, did they tell you that the room was like an orange background?
It's pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I also like that fun is one of the pillars. I don't know where it is on the list of the eight things.
Fun is right in the middle of it because, you know, myself, I'm a pretty serious person.
Mm-hmm.
I just came onto this planet. I'm a serious person. I'm not just like, you know, a party gal, yipping and yahoo. So I have to actually remind myself.
Okay, what would be your theme song? I think this is so funny. Gail said to me the other day, because I said, gosh, Gail, you know, it's like the world according to Gail. I go, you see everything through yellow colored glasses. And she goes, yes, and I like it too.
Yeah.
Because if I have a theme song for my life, it would be Walking on Sunshine and Doesn't It Feel Good.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. That's great.
Mine would be Amazing Grace. My theme song would be Amazing
Grace. It would be. Boy, is that a perfect fit.
Yeah. Amazing Grace would
fantastic.
Be
fantastic. That's great. Mine, for you know, a theme song is like one of those things that just happens in your head.
Yeah.
And so you think maybe the universe is trying to tell me what my theme needs to be. Mine is always que sera, sera, which means whatever will be, because I think I'm always trying to figure out, well, what's going to happen? And if I do this, do I get this? And, you know, what kind of results do I get if I, and so I'm very manipulative. Like my little ego is very powerful in my head. It just wants to control life. And then I'll just get that song, que sera, sera.
Really?
So, yeah. I think it's just telling me to chill out, do my thing, and whatever will be.
And accept what is.
Accept what is, exactly. And there's that balance, you know, of accepting what is, being with what is. And I talk about that when you have a crisis, and then being proactive. So there's this balance of, okay, I have to be with the truth of what is, whether I'm sick, I'm going through a divorce, I've been fired from a job, whatever. I can't be in denial. I actually have to be with the truth of whatever
right.
it is, no matter how painful. But then I also can be proactive. I can take very specific steps. You know, I can visualize, I can meditate, I can surround myself with positive people. I can meet healers. I can read books that are going to pop my mind into a new place. So that's the balance we have to strike as evolving human beings. I'm going to just allow to be present to whatever is. It's what Eckhart Tolle talks about.
Yeah.
It's just, it's what is.
So we've got meditation and conscious eating.
Mm-hmm.
We have fun.
And fun. Okay, so that brings levity to your life.
Yes.
That brings, you know, you have to just enjoy yourself and let it go. And that's a really important balance. And another really important pillar of quantum wellness is self-work. And that means, it's like Socrates said, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. You have to really look inside constantly and say, where am I blocked now?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing that I could sort of upgrade? And where am I stuck? Because our responsibility is to get unstuck. And that's when the light, the flow of life can go through us. But we have to constantly look within to see the places where we're stuck and clear them out.
Yeah, and if you're not doing self-work, then you are stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you are stuck.
And that's when life hits you over the head.
Yeah.
So I would prefer to do the self-work than just sort of rest on my laurels, whatever they are, and life to say, wake up, child, it's time to do some work again. So that's a really important thing.
Okay, we have two more pillars.
Okay, one of them is spiritual work. And that means just being around uplifting messages of hope, healing, peace. Because if we don't have some sort of spiritual work going on, whether it's going to a church, sitting in a temple and meditating or something, we forget our larger purpose. And spiritual work always brings us back to the bigger picture.
Spiritual practice.
Spiritual practice, yeah. Because otherwise we get stuck in our little ego minds. And what's important for me? Spiritual practice brings us back to the big picture. And then the last one is...
We forgot exercise.
Oh, exercise. And that's such an obvious one,
yeah.
You know? And it
exercise
doesn't have to be
there.
A killer. It doesn't have to be... In an aerobics class, it can be just a brisk walk 3 to 6 times a week and some good weightlifting. And that produces not only a leaner, stronger body, but it creates endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, everything, these brain chemicals, and brings you a sense of well-being and peace and relaxes the nervous system. So it's good on all different levels. And then the last one is service, and that pushes you out of your own little sphere of awareness.
Right.
And, you know, whenever I'm maybe feeling anxious or melancholy or something, and I remind myself to do some service, it pushes my awareness outside of my own self-centered fear. And I get to watch me having an effect on someone else. Usually I do service with animals in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel so good. So I'm not only doing something good for where I'm volunteering, but I get to experience the serotonin and the dopamine and all of that stuff that's happening in the brain. And I actually feel better.
Yeah, you say to us in the book that we should turn toward that which is stirring us up.
Ooh, that's a big conversation.
Yeah.
I think we need to turn towards the darkness within us. And we need to turn towards the darkness on this planet because we can't hide from it. It's getting so big and so intense that if we don't go within and look around us and see what's going on, it takes over in such a way that that's the bop over the head for us as individuals and for the planet. So it's really important to turn toward the things that are painful and really do everything we can to heal them on every level of body, mind, and spirit.
Well, thank you for the eight pillars. That's just the beginning of Quantum Wellness, which is a practical and spiritual guide to health and happiness. Next, I want to get into this whole details of conscious eating, how we begin to do that, and what are we going to eat if we're not eating any meat nor meat products? I don't know. I mean, not even an egg?
You know, it's a gradual, incremental journey.
Oh, my God. And I was planning on a turkey burger later today. I was so proud of myself. But anyway, join us again. It's always a delight to talk to you.
Thank you, Oprah.
Thanks so much. It's really fun. I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.